Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, March 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 45, the second paragraph. Well, that's exactly what this book is about, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Robin P., The 12 Steps, Kathy Jo P., The 12 Traditions, and the readers of the text are Shelley E., Kara L., and Betsy H. The share ID for Monday, March 20th, Monday, for Sunday, yesterday's special edition, March 21st, is 16,622. That's 16622, and for this morning's meeting, Monday, March 22nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16625, that's 165525. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements coordinator, thank you all, is Leslie M. Oh, OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much, Mo. This is Robin P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Vero Beach, Florida. One, sorry for the background noise of the beach. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood God. Four, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. God bless everybody with an abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P., and I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Kathy Jo. Press star one, Kathy Jo, we can't hear you.
Good morning, Kathy Jo P., recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics. We are on page 45, the second paragraph down. Well, that's exactly what this book is about, and we'll be studying that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 45. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we've written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So when I read this paragraph, it brought back to mind for me like English 101 or even high school English, where I had to have a thesis sentence. And I remember I always had to, you know, think of, oh, what's my thesis sentence going to be? And buried in this paragraph is, in this chip of a book, is the thesis sentence. Its main object is to enable you to find a power, capital P, which we all know what that means, greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And I do love the obvious and appropriate use of problem and not problems, because lack of power, as we know, is our dilemma. Prior to this, page 17 to 45 has shown me that I have no power. And they've proven to me that I'm an addict and that I suffer from an allergy of the body and a twist of the mind. But the remainder of this paragraph addresses the agnostic, and his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. And I was the opposite at this point. I all but told my sponsor that we could probably just skip this whole chapter, because I was already spiritual. I wasn't religious. I was spiritual. And therefore, I could probably just go on to the steps because I had this handled. And thank God she was very patient with me and said, you know, why don't we just go ahead and read it anyway? And at this point, this is probably my most marked up and consulted part of my big book daily. So guess what? I needed this agnostic chapter even probably more than the person who is afraid to read it. And I'm grateful at this point for the big book, the steps that have led me to this power, and that's greater than myself. And that power carries me through the day as I lean into him. So thank you for letting me do service, and I pass. Have a good day, everyone.
Well, thank you, Shelley, for getting us started. And I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're in chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 45, the second paragraph down. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. And Shelley gave us a good beginning. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, I will now take names of those who'd like to share this morning.
Hi, Keita.
Madam.
D.
I got Keita.
D.
And Madam,
Judy S. Anne Marie N.
Judy S. Anne Marie N.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen, I heard you. And one more.
Tamara C.
Okay, Tamara. Okay, Tamara. Okay, we'll stop there. Kathleen O. and Tamara C. I think. Keita, I didn't get your last initial, but you'll give it to me. Matt M., Judy S., Anne Marie M., Kathleen O., and Tamara C. Keita, good morning. Everybody else, mute your phone. Good morning, Keita.
Good morning. This is Keita D., recovering compulsive overeater from New York. Really glad to be here this morning and talking about this topic. The last sentence in the paragraph really resonates with me, this topic that he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored, because I did not think that God was interested in what I ate, but he is. And I think I just felt a lot of fear because I'm like, well, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Like, how can I let go of the reins? But the irony is I did not have control of the reins, clearly. The food had taken over, and I could not stop eating. I'm really marveling today that God has come into my food and shown me that from his hand I am fed and not my own, like, hunting and gathering. And just sat down this morning to eat an abstinent meal and just felt very present and like, thank you, God, that I'm not, my mind is not racing. It was just like racing before admitting it was unmanageable to live like that with money, and also my blood sugars as a type 2 diabetic were just through the roof. And I'm just so thankful today is Monday, March 22nd, and it's like a whole month since I started calling into Vision, and you all, your service and your love and your outreach has really rescued me. And yeah, I haven't had flour or sugar since February 15th, and I really believe it's because I've called in and hung out with you all and read this big book every day. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the relief that I feel, and that it's not so scary to trust God, the God of my understanding, anymore. Thank you. This is Keita D. from New York, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Keita D. Matt M., followed by Judy S. Good morning, Matt.
Thank you very much. This is Matt M. from Pulse Over here from New Jersey. Yeah, I want to touch base on that last the last couple sentences too. Like, but his faithful walls may speak to spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had newly invaded or entirely ignored. I thought that God wanted nothing to do with me, let alone my food. I always thought that God was for suckers, that there really was no God, that God was just for people who knew no better, who didn't know better. I thought there really wasn't a God, that God was just a placeholder for people who really didn't have anything better to do with their lives, that Sunday, the Sunday morning or Sunday school teachers and Sunday services are just for people who didn't know what to do with their lives. And I really didn't believe in God. I thought that God was for suckers, there wasn't a God. And I really didn't care anymore. I just thought that, there was no hope for me. And it was told to me by many people in my life and people who I thought my friends, I just didn't have any hope. I'm very grateful that I really do believe there is a God in my own understanding, because God brought a really good friend back into my life. I had a really tumultuous relationship because I'm a compulsive liar and I'm a pathological liar, and I lie off the top of my hat. When to tell the truth would be so much better, it would serve me so much easier, because I make things so much harder for myself. I do. I complicate things when it'd be so much easier to just tell the truth. I lie like water going through a sieve. And I think the lie comes as a defense mechanism when I was younger, because I was abused as a child and I just lied to save myself. And the lying just comes so naturally to me. I lie. It just comes naturally. And lying does not serve me anymore. Does not serve me. And I want to be much more truthful, and I want to be a much better person. And I have a friend of mine. She's learned to deal with me on a day-to-day basis. And I take it one day at a time. And now what she does, she has me listening to the vision meeting again, and she's like kind of sponsoring me. And I send her pictures of my food every day, and I send her take notes on the vision meeting every day, what I learned from the vision meeting. And I listen to people share, and I share once in a while. I'm going to start sharing once in a while, once every 3 or 4 days, once in a while. And I take what I learned from it, and I read the big book again, and I'm going to start reading the 12 and 12 again. And I want to learn. I'm here to learn, and I'm very grateful I'm back. And I just want to learn. I want to be present again. I want to be back here for my life. I want to take back what I've still been given. I'm just very grateful that, this program is here. The program never left. It's what I lead. When God said, where did God go? It's not us. Who moved? It was me. I moved. God didn't go anywhere. I did. And I'm very grateful that I'm back. And I'm very grateful that I still have this close friend of mine. Not only is she a good friend, she's also my financial advisor. She's a trusted friend I can call. But I also have to reach out and call other people. She can't be my only source of people. Thank you very much for letting me share on DivePad.
Well, thank you, Matt M. And welcome back. Next is Judy S., followed by Anne Marie M. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. This is Judy S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. This paragraph reminds me again that it is my relationship with God that is the absolute most important thing in my life. And therefore, God needs to be mentioned, when we share and when we sponsor. And when I say the word God, I guess I'm just assuming, I do ask my sponsors, but I'm assuming that, higher power, God, divine love, whatever works for them. And I've recently realized that, I've been in OA over 10 years, and finally, I hope and pray that I now realize how absolutely important it is to continue to work on that relationship, because that's what is going to solve my problem. And yeah, I have a big problem. I'm an addict. And to just continue to find ways to remind myself to connect. I don't know if it was mentioned on this meeting or someplace else, but somebody mentioned a special edition from a while ago called Compliance Versus Surrender. And I've listened to this like twice in this past probably 3 days, and am putting into practice some of the things that were suggested, because I realized that I need to really practice, we're all practitioners, medical doctors are called practitioners. You know, we don't know at all. We have to practice, and we have to practice that connection. And I'm just so grateful for this meeting, for Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 Steps, my sponsor, and everybody who's sharing their knowledge of the Big Book and also their experience. And anyway, grateful for all the service you all do, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Judy S., Anne Marie M., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for taking the meeting. Appreciate it. I really, I'm Anne Marie, gratefully recovered through God's grace. I'm glad to be here this morning, Anne Marie M., and from South Carolina. I have to say all that. I have to remember what I have to say. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. That was the next paragraph. I really appreciate this second sentence. It's the that's exactly what this book is all about. The main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problems. And, you know, I did find a God. I came in with a God. I really was never agnostic. I did come in with a God, but it was a God that wasn't doing what I needed. And it was a God that was way up high, that, you know, and I really couldn't reach him. And what I learned in this program was that God is loving, he's compassionate, and he's my friend. And I not only found a God, I stayed stagnant with that God for quite a while. And now my relationship with him has gotten so much closer. I really appreciate that that is the reason for this book, because I believe that is the answer. God is the answer, higher power. You know, something more powerful than me is the answer to this problem, because I didn't have any power over my food or over my compulsive eating. I had no power over it. So it's very simple. I didn't have any power, so I needed to get a power. And it had to be something greater than me. I had to run out of ideas on what I think I could do and depend on something that I couldn't see, I couldn't feel. And that's where the faith needed to come in. And, you know, I got that faith. I really didn't have the faith, even though I had a higher power in my life. I didn't have the faith that he would do for me, you know, what I couldn't do for myself. In the ABCs, that, you know, the C of it is God could and would if he were sought. So that's about all I have to say, and I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Anne Marie M. Kathleen O, followed by Tamara C. And then after Tamara, we'll take some more names. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. Oh my gosh, love all your shares, really love them. You know, so I came into my first 12-step program absolutely clueless. I thought I was going to finally find the ultimate diet that was going to finally work. And, you know, actually I'd done dozens of diets that actually worked, but the weight never stayed off. So about 17 years ago when I came in, I actually stayed, and it worked because not only did I have group support, but I got in the habit of weighing and measuring my food, going to meetings, connecting with a higher power, and then sponsoring others to do the same thing. But after 7 years, I started taking my will back. I started resting on my laurels, having thoughts of thinking I could do this myself. And thankfully, I was directed to vision. It was definitely a God thing, because I never really understood my real problem until coming into vision, where the focus is on the directions in this big book. So once I learned my problem wasn't the food, but rather a lack of power, and the solution was a power greater than myself, and the answer to how do people do this for years and decades and keep their weight off in these 12-step rooms, you know, the answer was working these steps on a daily basis. And once I started doing that, it became easier and totally changed my life. And I can relate to the word God, having brought up a particular idea that in my case were the Catholic nuns being the someone who tried to impress on me during childhood, And I didn't like it. You know, the word God turned me off. I had abandoned the God idea entirely. And I didn't like people who preached God. You know, the feeling of awe and wonder that they say in this paragraph was fleeting and soon lost, because if I didn't believe, you know, because I thought if I did believe, would I have to be like others who preach God? And this isn't about preaching God. It's rather finding a God that will help us solve our problems. And it meant I had to surrender. You know, if I could have found a power any other way, I wouldn't be here. But the best gift, the best truth, is that no human aid could ever help me. So this chapter tells us that when it speaks of God, it's our own conception of God. The beauty of God is that we all have a God personal to each of us, and it can be anything as long as it isn't you or me. So to get a sense of power and direction is so amazing. You know, I was really sick and tired of giving food the power to destroy me physically and spiritually. And, you know, I did have God when I came in. I had the gift of desperation. So our higher power is our own, and it will be revealed as we work the steps. The power won't only relieve you from the bakery boxes and stop living on our own self-sufficient ways so that we can actually live. And I think my time's up. I just want to say that these pages, they show us how to have a spiritual awakening, which will solve our problem. And our goal is to be recovered. And thank you, I pass.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. Oh, and before I take Tamara C., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 45, the second paragraph. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. And after Tamara, I will take some more names. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered in California. So as I was kind of meditating on that idea, like the main object is to enable us to find a power. And I was thinking, that's the main object of the directions in this book, and like how to work the steps. That's all about helping me find a power, and all the stories and the experience, strength, and hope. What's the purpose of all that to help me find a power? And why did I work with a sponsor? Why do I ask someone to sponsor me? And that's all about finding a power. And when I got through the steps, my sponsor said, she said, I didn't do anything. You had an encounter with your higher power. And in this fellowship, every time I call recovered fellows, they point me back to that power. And this meeting and the people's shares and all the service, it's all about that. And even my abstinence and my food plan, these are not about just freedom from my disease, but really the true freedom and the true healing happens when God is everything for me. And so even my abstinence clears my mind so I can get to that place. And so I wanted to, I did a little bit of notes, like, what is this higher power that I'm encountering? And I feel very vulnerable sharing this for some reason, maybe because it feels so personal and intimate, but that's the beauty of my higher power, is that now my higher power is so personal and intimate. I found a God that's personal to me, that God knows me. My higher power understands me better than I understand myself. And my higher power wants me, like just wants me. And loves me and is always here and is very tender. I needed a higher power that's safe. I found that out through working the steps with my sponsor. I needed a higher power who's safe, not out to get me. I can trust this higher power to know what's best for me and to always, always, always be accepting me, no matter what I'm doing or what I'm thinking or what I'm struggling with. Just always doesn't need to be appeased. And I needed a higher power that's healing, that knows my brokenness and has unlimited resources to help me. And I'm just grateful for this book and this fellowship and my sponsors who've enabled me to find a power that's transforming my life. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Tamara C. And so I'm going to have more people open up the lines if they want to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share here?
Jill C.
Jill C.
Laura L.
Deborah G.
Laura L.
Deborah G.
Is somebody else? Deborah G. Anyone else? Got Jill C., Laura L., Deborah G.
Laura K.
Laura K.
Donna B.
There's Donna. All right. Well, let's go with that, and we'll see where we are. After that, we may have time for a few more. All right. We have Jill C., Laura L., Deborah G., Laura K., and Donna B. Jill C., you're up.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Jill C. from Northern California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I really enjoyed the shares today, so thank you to everyone. I came in knowing God, and also when I looked at this chapter, I thought, well, I'm not agnostic. You know, maybe we could skip this. I didn't say that, but I just thought, oh, you know, okay, I'll breeze through this one. And the truth is, before coming into this program, I didn't understand how my higher power was related to my food overeating. And I didn't understand how he was going to help. I had prayed and it didn't seem to work, and there was willpower and other programs and such. And I just, to me, there was no connection. So when I started reading this, I thought, this is crazy. How is this going to help? And what I've learned in the program is that so much of this is not linear. You know, I tend to think very linearly. If I do this, then this is the result. And if I do this thing, it will change this. All in a line. But really, with this program, getting closer to my higher power has helped in so many areas of my life where I couldn't have imagined that help coming through just by getting closer to my higher power. And so I am just grateful for this program, and so thankful for everyone on the line who just encourages me. And, you know, you have to work it. As one of our Sunday speakers says, you know, it's not for a program for someone who wants it or needs it. It's for someone who works it. And thankfully, I am doing that, and I'm just grateful to be here. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Jill C. Laura L., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And this business of God, it's really key. It's everything. And the funny thing, I've always kind of been spiritually inclined and been inclined to seek God. Sometime when I was in high school, like late high school, I had this realization about surrender, and I found it so terrifying that it made it really hard to move forward in that way, because I guess the thinking went something like, oh, well, God is going to take away everything I love in the name of some cosmic lesson that's really for my own good. Whew. So as you can imagine, that made things a little bit difficult. There wasn't much trust there. And in spite of the fact that I was raised in a religion that you know, believes in a very loving God, a very forgiving God, none of the old school fire and brimstone, it was still hard for me. So being in OA and having walked my path, you know, I learn about surrendering things to God. And I've heard it said that life is one surrender after another. it's just a matter of how long you want to hold on to any particular thing. And I'm looking and seeing that most areas of my life, that surrender to God has happened. And every time it happens, things just transform and blossom. So this is very much in contrast to all my dark nightmares of having everything ripped from me for my own good. It's actually been much more gentle and powerful. It's only hideously painful when I clutch and grasp, which I've had a lot of practice doing. So now I just, it's such a relief to surrender things to my higher power and to not be, to an extent, a functional atheist where, yeah, I believe in God and I'd like God to come into my life and work, but I'm sorry, I'm in control of all these things. You can't touch them, God. So again, having to surrender repeatedly and resign as master of the universe. I'm on this path. I'm working my steps. I'm surrendering the last big things that I wanted to keep in my little paws. And I'm excited to see what higher power has for me because my way hasn't worked. So I'm willing and I'm here and I'm grateful to all of you. Thank you. Pass.
That was perfect timing, Laura. Thank you very much. Deborah G, followed by Laura K. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service and all those that have been of service today. And oh, wow. Thank you for all the shares. They were just really beautiful, especially when we're talking about this subject. Oh, it just reminds me and also wakes me up out of my agnosticism because I can go there. You know, I can go unconscious. And sometimes I need a waking up. And these kinds of wake ups, it's like a, as I heard someone say, cold water being thrown in someone's face. Uh-huh, yes, oh, okay. And I love that when I went through the steps this last time, because I'm, and still going through the steps in a workshop, that I'm discovering a deeper relationship with this power. This power, excuse me, and this power for me today is guidance, is everything, is knowledge, is power, is love, and loves me so much, wants my highest good, greatest joy, forgiving its presence, where I can rest in that presence. Its reality, its beauty, it's so much, and I want it to be so much so that I can continue to turn to it when things are needed to be let go of, to be freed of, to continue doing the rest of those steps. And then watching how that power transforms me so that I can be of service to that power, to be how that power wants me to be, to help other people, to help other people, what it's all about. You know, to have compassion, to have empathy, to have the heart of that power so I can be there for another fellow who's suffering. You know, who I can help a soul that's lost to find its way back. It's just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I want to continue doing that because when I'm doing that, I'm not wanting anything to do with food, you know, just eating the healthy food that's on my food plan. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. And now we have Laura K. followed by Donna B. We may have time for a few more after that. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, this is Laura K. from Northern California. This is the first time I have shared on here. I introduced myself about a month ago, 2 weeks ago. I've been listening to Visions for You for about a couple months, and oh my gosh, what a change it has made in my life. This paragraph is so powerful. I have always believed in a power greater than myself. I always believed that there's a God, but I did not know how to fully surrender. Been struggling with the surrendering thing for quite some time. I could surrender drugs. I could surrender other things, but surrendering my food? Oh, my goodness. That is something else. But I have done it because of power to you, because of my power, because of vision to you. I have type 2 diabetes, and it's really beginning to take a toll. And before vision to you, before I started listening, there was no way I was going to listen to what it was telling me. I'll eat whatever I want to. Thank you very much. And I'll take the medicine, but, you know, eventually the medicine will work and I'll be fine. La, 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 la. Not the way it works. My God has been amazing. My eyes are open. I'm willing to look at things. I'm willing to write my food down. I'm willing to count my carbs, anything I need to do. And those who are struggling with this paragraph, oh, I hear you. I hear you. And I feel you. And there's hope. There is hope. The other day I was spinning so bad in my head at work, I just couldn't seem to figure out what to do next. So I threw up my arms and I said, God, just show me what to do. What do I do first? And not less than 2 minutes later, I received an outreach call from a Vision to You member. Boy, I tell you what, that was definitely my power, higher power in work, and I thanked that person. And with that, I passed.
And thank you, Laura Kay. Next up, we have Donna B.
Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Donna.
Thank you for the warm welcome. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. I do spell my name D-A-N-A, although it's pronounced Donna. And what I wanted to share is that I've been in OA for many, many years. And I've had a long period of entire abstinence, back-to-back abstinence. And this book did enable me to find a power greater than myself to solve the problem of eating compulsively and vomiting and over-exercising. But that power at its initial inception was not the type of God that so many people have shared so beautifully about on this call. For a long time, my access to that power was following the directions in the book, taking directions from my sponsor, doing the work. It wasn't a beautiful, loving, caring, surrendering, warm, huge, embracing kind of a higher power that filled me with love. That just wasn't my experience. My experience was showing up and doing the work and experiencing entire abstinence by accessing the power of the wisdom in the book, the wisdom of my fellows, the inspiration of watching those who'd gone ahead of me. So I share this for newcomers and for old timers also that haven't found that God that just feels like a huge hug, that doesn't have any qualities of our own parents, that isn't punishing, that isn't transactional, that recovery is still possible, and that there is still access to a power greater than ourselves that is worth having a relationship with as I navigated towards a higher power that I now call my beloved mother, God. And I'm getting to know her slowly. But recovery is not only for people who believe entirely in
time
a God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. Spelled D-A-N-A. So we now have time for like two more shares.
Donna W.
Donna W.
Laura R.
Laura R. All right. We'll see what we can do here. Got about 5 minutes. Each take about 2.5. That would work. All right. Donna W. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Donna W. checking in from Palo Alto, California. Gratefully here and in recovery today. Excuse me. And I just want to say, you know, lack of power is my dilemma. And even though I have a really strong belief in my higher power, I go agnostic regularly. And for example, like a couple weeks ago, it was just like so clear, like lack of power is my dilemma. And like, you know, just like I need to plug into my higher power. Like that's how I get recharged. Just like I charge my phone up every night when I go to bed. I got to charge myself up every day. It was just like viscerally obvious to me. And then I got so exhausted the last week and I get really withdrawn. You know, I've noticed I get real withdrawn from my husband, but I also get withdrawn from my higher power, and then I go agnostic and I forget that there's a power that I can plug into, and I start trying to manage my life. So, you know, I do believe in God, and at times I do have faith in God, and then I get agnostic. And I was also brought up to be a strong, independent woman, so that's my default. You know, under stress, I go into self-reliance. So, you know, I'm just praying for God to relieve me of my self-reliance today so that I can relax and take it easy and not struggle and just trust God's got my back. So thank you for all the reminders of that today, and it's out of touch.
Well, thank you, Donna W., for making it short. Laura R., you'll be our last share today. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. Oh boy, I mean, amazing meeting, amazing paragraph. I just, you know, it's funny, I came in thinking I had a God, and what I realized is that I knew nothing about my higher power. I thought I had a relationship with it. It was just me running my own show. And I'm so grateful, if you think about it, like that we had Bill's story before all of this, and also realizing that I am screwed and I need power. Bill's story, you know, at least for those that don't, you know, struggle to believe in a power greater than themselves, and the G-O-D word, I love good orderly direction, but God, I love, and Evie Thatcher told Bill Wilson, hey, you can choose your own conception. Praise God. You know, how awesome is that? And then in Bill's story, it also says that we can solve all of our problems. When I came in, I thought my only problem was food. You know, that is so funny. And not only did I not give God my food, but I also didn't give God anything. And I learned, you know, page 52, if I don't think I need a God, check that out. You know, when I came in here, my relationships were a mess. I was full of fear. I couldn't make a living. You know, it was just, I was a hot mess. And I thought, again, I had a higher power and I really wasn't giving anything to God. I love this chapter because, again, I can see, you know, I think a couple pages later after 52, it talks about how I worship a lot of things and definitely didn't worship higher power. So truly grateful for this program. I am in school. I am learning one day at a time how to have that relationship with higher power, how to get out of self, because that's really my problem. You know, food is just but a symptom. So
because of you guys, because of this meeting, because of the steps that lead me to, I heard this morning, you know, the steps are a treasure map and then the God is the treasure, and it leads me to that treasure. It leads me to the gold. It leads me to that relationship with God that does solve all my problems. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Laura R., and thank you all those who made this meeting possible and those who shared this morning on the line. And so we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will ask Kara L. to read that for us. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.